Good day, friends. Steph Edsel here, your host for DBT Weekly. Last week, we talked about validation and what that looks like. It's showing a deeper understanding of circumstances, feelings, thoughts, and behaviors. Remember, it's beyond praise and encouragement. It really hears the other person's side of things. Have you had difficulty validating yourself or another? Did you reflect on what life was like for you growing up? Many of the issues we face as adults can be linked to our childhoods and what kinds of environments we were raised in. People really like to make jokes about being too sensitive or soft, and that is actually invalidating as well, because some humans are just more sensitive than others, by nature of their design. It's like how some people are taller than others. Humans choose interesting things to degrade one another about, don't you think? Having feelings is a big one. For me, it doesn't make sense, but I try to still be validating of another's perspective. Am I always on target? Heavens, no. The ugly truth about invalidation, as I stated last week, is we will do it at some point, all of us, and we will be on the receiving end as well. This week, I'm going to talk about strategies for changing behavior. There are very effective strategies for increasing behaviors that we want in ourselves or others. We have reinforcement and shaping for those. And for decreasing behaviors that we do not want, there is extinction, satiating, and punishment. The secret to being effective at behavior change is to learn these strategies and put them into action. Let's talk about increasing the probability of desired behaviors. Reinforcement is any consequence that increases a behavior, positive or negative. Think about your own behavior. What are some of the things that you'd like to work on? Some people want to increase their gym attendance. Some folks want to quit smoking. There's tons of things we could list. We will do those things by shaping and understanding that timing is crucial in regard to reinforcement. There are such things as reinforcement schedules also, and of course, I will be talking about them. This session may be somewhat confusing at first, heck, maybe the whole thing. It's very difficult to conceptualize right off the bat. Do not should on yourself. Be patient and be willing to continue studying it. First thing to understand about reinforcement is that it's not necessary for people to be aware that their behavior is being influenced by consequences. What is required, however, is that you are aware that the reinforcing event has occurred. The example given in our group binder is sound does not reinforce a non-hearing person, just as a non-seeing person would not be reinforced by a visual stimulation of any sort. It's not required to know the origin of the connection between the reinforcer and your behavior. Does that make sense? We needn't know that there's a connection, but it's helpful to know the trigger. We're often reinforcing behavior in ourselves and others without even realizing it. And that is the tricky part. Here are some examples of reinforcement. Crying, suicide attempts, tantrums, and pouting are all written off as attempts to get attention. Anger, tiredness, anxiety, and fear are written off as attempts to avoid doing what is expected. A cry for help is viewed as manipulative. That's a hot button for us at the DBT Center. To be honest, people are just trying to get their needs met. They are trying to feel safe. Trying to regulate on our own can be tough. Asking for reassurance is fairly common. And if someone can't get their sometimes basic needs met, behaviors could look much like what I described a few moments ago. These unhelpful types of assumptions, however, are generally pejorative. They are of the punishing flavor. They are wrong and hurtful. Remember, people are often not even aware of which or what reinforcers are actually controlling their behavior. And remember, we don't necessarily have to be aware of that connection between the consequence and our own behavior for the reinforcement to work. It's kind of wild how that works, but I've seen it in action, and it really does work. Some of you may be asking yourselves, but Steph, why reinforce? What's the deal here? Some people may think that a behavior should occur on its own. Hear my should in there? That we should not have to reinforce humans to do the right thing. And I say the word right with quotes around it. This is a basic understanding of human and even animal behavior. Knowing what is right is learned. And again, I say that with the word right in quotes. So that also means that doing the right thing is learned, and you already know about that word right. Reinforcement is an important way we learn, you guys. It just is. People respond, as we do when we reinforce ourselves. The idea that people should just do the right thing just because it is right ignores the fact that all behavior is caused. More shoulding. Doing what is right is highly subjective, if you ask me. Depends on what part of the world you're in, I suppose. Values vary globally. Okay. So there are two types of reinforcement. Reinforcement as a reward and reinforcement as relief. This is where it gets kind of tricky. With reinforcement as a reward, it is also called a positive reinforcement. This increases the frequency of a behavior by adding a positive consequence. Examples given in our book are praise, frequent flyer miles, an earned privilege, money, a smile. Each of these can increase behavior when it occurs as a consequence of a specific behavior. So this is adding. That's why we call it positive. With reinforcement as a relief, that's a negative reinforcement. It increases the frequency of a behavior by removing an unpleasant condition. So, for example, when you have a headache and you take some ibuprofen or aspirin and the headache or pain goes away. How about people stop bothering you when you throw a tantrum? Feelings of sadness and fear lessen when you drink a lot of alcohol. See where I'm going with this? It's easy to not realize the ways we reinforce ourselves and others until we start breaking it down and examining it. This is a subtraction of pain, so we call it a negative reinforcer. I really hope this makes sense, because it is daunting to try to explain over this medium. Since I have no visuals, I just have my voice and hopefully the ability to explain the skills properly. Can you think of some things that are rewards or positive consequences for a behavior you've chosen to increase? Remember that positive reinforcement. And also, what are consequences of specific behaviors that provide relief in your life? That negative reinforcement. Think about what kinds of behaviors you or others are maintained, that you are maintaining or others are maintaining by ending unpleasant and or painful conditions. Think of that negative reinforcement. And what reward or positive consequence would make you more likely to engage in a behavior? I hope you see that there's negative and positive consequences. And the reinforcement is, if I'm using a negative reinforcement, I'm taking something away. If I'm using a positive reinforcement, I'm adding something. Okay. I'm really trying to hammer it in there because it's hard to remember which is which. So here's an example, a mini quiz, if you will. Have you ever given a loved one more time when they are in trouble than when they are not? Which one is it, everyone? I hope you said positive. What was your clue? The word give? Right. Now, shaping is reinforcing by achieving small steps that lead toward a bigger goal. Each successive step toward a larger goal is reinforced until the new behavior is stable. This increases the chances of continuing to work toward the goal. Example. If your goal is to get up early 5 mornings a week to exercise for half an hour, you can first reinforce yourself for getting out of bed early, then reinforce yourself for exercising for 10 minutes, then 20 minutes, and then so on. Why use shaping? Because some behaviors are very difficult to learn, particularly behaviors that are complex and require lots of steps, like DBT. Sheesh! So if your goal is to be happy, you may want to break it down into some steps because it's too broad of a concept. Make sense? Timing counts in reinforcement, and here's how. If you wait too long after a desired behavior is done to reinforce it, it will not be connected with the behavior. The example given in our book says you're trying to improve your backhand in tennis, and your coach is observing 30 swings. Would you prefer the coach to tell you, "That is the swing. Nice job," immediately after you use the correct form? Or would you prefer the coach to wait until you're done and then say, "Your 14th swing, I really liked that one"? It wouldn't really make sense, would it? Do you think you could even recall the 14th swing? Most of us would not be able to. Now let's move on to reinforcement schedules. When and how often a behavior is reinforced is pretty important if you want the behavior to continue without having to reinforce it every time it occurs. Remember, I said there are two types. So we actually have continuous reinforcement and intermittent reinforcement. With continuous reinforcement, every instance of a designated behavior is reinforced. It can be important at the beginning when you are trying to shape and establish a new behavior. It will get a behavior to occur at a very high frequency. However, if that's all that you do, the behavior will disappear quickly as soon as you stop reinforcing it. So, say if your sick mom always answers the phone when you call, but does not today, you may drop everything and run over to her home. If she only intermittently picks up the phone, you may keep calling her for several days rather than running over to her home. With intermittent reinforcement, the designated behavior is reinforced only some of the time. You can make a behavior almost indestructible, basically not affected by change, by putting it on an intermittent reinforcement schedule. Gradually lengthen the number of responses required for reinforcement, or increase the length of the interval before responses are reinforced. It's more likely to work if you make the length of time between reinforcements unpredictable. Behaviors that are otherwise incomprehensible can often be explained by intermittent reinforcement. This is how gambling and domestic violence relationships can be better understood. Often at the start of those types of relationships, the abusive partner reciprocated love frequently at the beginning and then gradually lengthened the time between expressions of love. So, for this week, I want you to identify the behavior you want to increase and the reinforcer you will use. Describe the situation where you used reinforcement. Jot down what the outcome was. What did you observe? How did you feel afterward? Next week, we will talk about punishing and extinguishing unhelpful behavior. Thanks so much for joining me today on DBT Weekly. I appreciate you all listening and taking notes. Here's to an effective week. If you have questions, comments, concerns, please go ahead and email me at uofudbt@gmail.com. Everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.